How do we stop this?
Jack, where were you? Where'd you go?
In Tel Aviv.
Have you ever been to Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
It's an interesting city.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of weird things going on there.
Yeah,
you'll tell me later.
Yeah, I look for weird things.
Okay. Today is, well, today, for me, it's an auspicious day, December 2nd. It's my birthday today. December 2nd.
The
Goyish calendar. Forget how bad, how old we are, Baruch Hashem.
No,
my Jewish birthday is Hanukkah the fourth night, and I have a grandson the eighth night.
Right.
Also, I can mention that first of all, it's December 2nd, 2018. Beautiful Sunday morning here in Yerushalayim. Secondly, I can tell Dov that since I saw you last, I am infinitely more wealthy. More wealthy.
Oh.
W-E-A-L-T-H-Y. Thursday night, we had a great-granddaughter. Oh, but this great-granddaughter was a real simcha because my granddaughter-in-law was Bishmira Teirayon. You don't know what she would be. She was in the hospital on to a month's time. And they were very careful, and the baby was born a month early, and thank God the baby was over 5 pounds. So that's a good sign. They did not put her into a pagiya, the incubator, and we'll see if there's a question whether they'll let the baby out on Monday when my granddaughter-in-law gets out. Could be according to protocol, because she was born a month earlier, they keep her a little longer. But Baruch Hashem, we named the baby Shabbos. I davened with my children. I didn't have it. I reversed my life. By 5 o'clock, I was learning. I learned three daf gemara with Rishonim by the time I went to shul to daven. And Baruch Hashem, the baby's name Carmel Naomi. And we're going to have a party on
Carmel Naomi.
Carmel Naomi, and
there'll
be. It's a girl. Carmel, my wife says, is Zachara, but in this country, I have another great-granddaughter. The one born a few weeks ago not Asaf. She's Yuval. Yuval.
I have one born 3 months ago, Shoham
Tzuk. A girl.
Yeah.
Shoham, and I have a grandson, Shoham. So
we
got a ride with the waves. But it's
young people give strange names.
It's not strange names. It's a new world. You daven havara svadit. Your grandfather had kedaven boruch haTorah. You changed the world. You came in Aliyah. You're a good Jew. The children have a right to go further, and it's a new world, a new world. Can I help? Okay, let me begin. I have a world to do. First of all, I made the comment in class that in my humble opinion, 1,000 years from now, people will still be quoting and looking at the Tshuvah of Rav Avadya Yosef B'Dechilu Rechim. But I got a number of letters. What about the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Leizer? What about the Moshe Feinstein? So I have to tell these students, as some of you know, you've heard me over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I've quoted Rav Moshe, I've quoted the Achiezer. I've quoted the Achiezer. Hundreds, if not thousands, of times. What I'm trying to say is, yes, if you've heard my lectures on the difference between a Litvish posek and an Ungarish posek and a Sephardic posek like Rav Avadya, yes, they're all poskim within the context of their milieu, how they were raised. What's amazing about Rav Avadya is that every tshuva of his in Yabia Omer is like an encyclopedia. That's what I'm trying to say. The material he covers, the Rishonim, the Achronim, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, even rabbinic journals, Kol Raz Lo Anisle, he's not missing anything. And they say that they tested Rav Avadya against the computer. This years ago, they say Rav Avadya came out ahead of the computer. So please, don't misunderstand me. Rav Moshe is Rav Moshe. The Achiezer is the Achiezer. No two ways about it. But in the sense of tefillin, of the ma'of, the broadness, the bereitkeit, with Rav Avadya, a tshuva is a little book unto itself. And that's what I was trying to say. And when they deal with similar problems 1,000 years from now, If Rabbi Avadya touched it, they'll have to go into what he had to say. All right. I hope I'm understood. If not, go back and take off 49 years and listen to my lectures. Now, Jack said to me as follows, that when it comes to checking tefillin, say, oh, now it's brought down in the Sfarim that twice in 7 years you should check a tefillin mezuzah. And yet, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that when we start checking tefillin, we get into trouble. And the truth of the matter is that you have two different opinions out there. I'll tell you, logically speaking, if the tefillin is sealed properly the first time and they're checked, they're kosher tefillin. They have a cheskat kashrut. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, when you start opening the tefillin, you're asking for problems. You start taking it apart, you unfold it, and as I said, particularly with the Shel Rosh, every time you take apart the Parshiyot, it's folded so tightly, you can be breaking up a letter. And there's something to be said, Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think I told you, I met in Marty Flemenbaum, the famous Hasofa in Yerushalayim. So I have to tell you, Marty's my Talmud. I write about him in Washington. I have a beautiful passage there that halavai, a good at Yisrael people, would study that passage and understand what I'm saying. Because some of you know the whole, it's very depressing for me, but the whole machloket of Israel hit America now with all the vulgarity and all the enmity and all the hatred for Gedolei Yisrael, by Yisraelim. We're resuscitating the machlokes of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Tanya. I thought we achieved peace. I thought the Rav of 1980, when he went to the Rebbe for the Fabrenian, at that moment, it was a moment in time.
It's among the Hasidim.
Herbie, relax yourself. I don't think the Hasidim started it. It's part of the Litvisha, and I don't want to mention names. Let it be. I have. You don't know what things that I have seen that I can't say publicly, at least not when it's being recorded. God should help us. Maybe Rakefet is a good example. He comes from a Rebbe, the Rav on Yutet Kislev, talks about the machlekes of his of the Reb Chaim Voloshin, the Talmud, his great 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 grandfather Talmud Mifakar the Vilna Gaon, and then the Rav says, but I am a clandestine chassid. Mm-hmm. The Rav says it. It's recorded. It's such a different approach.
What is Chaim Voloshin's real name?
Reb Chaim Voloshin, I don't think he had a last name at that time. They didn't have last names yet. As far as I know, maybe there is a last name. You can check it out. There's a volume on him by Ehrlich. But it hurts. The whole machleket has come back again. But all right, leave that. It's with nothing we can do here in this classroom. But it hurts. It hurts. It's
talking about Flemenbaum.
So Marty Flemenbaum, I write about him in Washington. Read that part, my meeting with him. It's a very important message for both Agudah and Degel HaTorah. Halavai, they should read it and understand what Rakefet is saying. So I asked, there's a sofa who works for him. So I said, a sofa, I know his father from Los Angeles, nice people, good people. So I asked the sofa, Yomo, just check that everything is recording properly. I'm the one who turned it on. So I asked the sofa, why are we checking tefillin? Look what the Shlomo Zalman Orbach said. So he says to me, yeah, who takes care of their tefillin like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? I don't want to argue with him. But I want to assure you, I take very good care of my tefillin. I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't take good care of their tefillin. We're very careful, we're very medakdei. So, all right, do as you wish. I have something working to my advantage, meaning I don't have to check my tefillin every 7 years because I don't use the same pair all year. I have two different pairs of tefillin. I had another pair which I gave to my grandchildren. But I have one pair. It's a regular pair with all hidurim that I and Baruch Hashem. I bought it before I got married. I would save lunch money. I Baruch Hashem. My heart is filled with Torah, so I would save lunch money. I bought an expensive pair with a seifa whatnot. Then I had another pair made by my classmate We'll talk about him in due course. Schneider, remember the name? Josh Schneider's father. We'll talk about him in due course in this year. He made a pair for me and for Baron Soloveitchik. That was Dakot, Behemoth Dakot. It wasn't Gassot. Then in Israel, when I see I'm in the army and I'm traveling as well in Russia, so I had a pair made. And I have, as you know, God blessed me with a lot of grandsons, Kanai and Hara. So at one point we had about four pairs of tefillin made for grandsons. So I had them make a small pair for me, which they took out of production. They don't generally make, but if you're buying four pairs and the grandfather is asking a special favor and he's a Mabitz Torah, so I have another pair that's smaller than regular tefillin, but still the pasha at a regular size. So really I should check them.
How many pairs did you buy for your grandchild?
Every grandchild that needed tefillin I bought. The
kind that's of not pair. An answer.
But you want to know how many grandsons I have?
I bought nine pairs.
I bought more than you, but I don't have to spell it out.
I bought his.
Okay.
He bought for his granddaughters also.
Please don't reveal that part of the family. Now, please bear with me. Now, a Talmud of mine from long before many of you were born, Stewie Pilichovsky here, outstanding Talmud, and one that we really had success with, came Maliyah, lives here. So he's listening to the Sheyurim, and he says, why are you getting all uptight? Why is the Rebbe Moshe Klein getting all uptight about the Sifrei Torah? What do we do with Kashrut? What do we do with Kashrut? I have a good friend, Barry Liebman, should live and be well and be strong and healthy. We go back to high school together. He's a little older than I am. I taught his daughters. So Barry is a little Babacher Chassid by birth. He's Makpid and Glad Kosher. So whenever we would go out with Barry, it had to be a Glad Kosher place. Now you all know in Israel, there are two levels of Kashrut. There's Kosher and Glad Kosher. If you would ask Aaron Rakefer, he's totally opposed to two levels of Kashrut. It's terrible, unsechel. In Israel, everything should be glatt kosher. Though, why should everything be glatt? Not because of Rakefet. I'll eat regular kosher. But the majority of people here take the Sfardim plus the Ungarische. You already have 70% of the Jews who care about kashrut have to eat glatt. So the army is very smart. Today in the army, the mikraz, the tender for kosher meat, glatt kosher. They buy tons and tons of glatt kosher meat.
In the army is
Which meat you say?
Ground meat.
Ground meat, could be that. But that the Sfadim can't eat then.
Right,
they have to choose something else.
But
they
have to.
I know. Your grandson is outstanding. He has outdone the grandfather, okay?
All of them.
Kanein Hara. It's a good thing the Gemara says, Einav Bekaneb Bevnovi and Rav Bekaneb Betamadon. That's so correct. Now, so we suggest with Sifrei Torah. By the way, the reason I don't like the double standard is psychologically, if it's only kosher, someone will think, well, they're not makpid, we can throw this and throw that in, take this cooler, that cooler. That has nothing to do with glat and not glat. The rub was not makpid and glat. The litvakin were not makpid and glat. Okay. Halacha l'maisa today, I have no problem, because I only eat, if I have a choice, I only eat milchiks altogether, and certainly out of the house. It's when you go into a restaurant that has a milchika hashgacha, very hard for them to cheat. There's no way in Israel you can get treif cheese, treif milk, Baruch Hashem, everything is lemahadrin. And in Yerushalayim, we're living in heaven, because I've yet to see a milchika hechsher that's not lemahadrin. You follow me? It doesn't pay for them. Everything is lemahadrin, milchiks, the vegetables are gush katef. Alright. So Stewie Pilichovsky suggests, why don't you have two levels of Torah reading? One Torah, you have a sign up, this Torah went through the computer check, and this Torah is like the old-time Torahs, there's not necessarily any computer check, v'shalom al Yisrael. So I want to tell Stewie, if Aaron Rakefet loses sleep over kosher, lat glat kosher, stam kosher, the OU. No, you worked for the OU. Tell me, what's the meat in the OU? All the meat is glatt kosher. I choke on it. The OU wouldn't give hashgacha to Hebrew National. Are you aware of this? I'm not making this up. It would have been unbelievable, hashgacha to Hebrew National. But I asked the big shots in the OU. I'm not ashamed of them. They're my friends. I asked Manny Holzer. I said, Manny, what's going on here? You can solve a terrible problem. People always say, is Hebrew National, isn't it kosher? You know why they don't give hashgacha? Because they can't get enough glatt meat. There's not enough glatt meat available. So I said, why are you makpid on glatt? Financial. We got to sell to the Sfatim. We got to sell to the Hungarians. Today already a good deal of the Litvish world has gone Hungarian. So the OU has one standard. All their meat is glatt kosher. I wish that would be in Israel, one standard, and everyone can eat with peace of mind. But if in Kashrut you can work it out, all right, I'll go into this restaurant, you go to that restaurant. Could you imagine in a shul where you have a few hundred people davening? They'll need 2 minyan and 1 minyan for the regular Torah, 1 minyan for the other Torah. It's a bizayon, she'en ken dugmato, it's motzi laz. It reminds me of Monk's Shul in London, in Golders Green, where I told you they have a sign up that if you carry on Shabbos, you're somach on the Erev, you cannot be a member of the Shul. You cannot get an aliyah. They swear to me the story is true that a guy walked in with a cane, with a shtekin, where already it's a little a physical matter, and they didn't know he came with a cane, they gave him an aliyah. And they found out later when the guy walked out, he walked out with a cane. The rabbi paskened. We have to reread the whole pasha. If what can go on in Lakewood this past week as a result of the Aguda convention, and if could go on what went on here in Yerushalayim and other cities, don't ask questions. Just be happy you had the rub as a rebbe that you're a good Jew. Period. I don't want to go further. Okay, so I want to say to Stewie, your suggestion in theory is beautiful. In practice, it would cause so much harm and homets machlaikis and so much lashon hara. It's not practical. We need a shul, a minyan, a sefer Torah. Any Jew can walk in. I've said this more than once, that the greatness of the Jewish people is that we observe, we all observe the same. We don't speak the same language. We don't follow everything the same. But the basic observance is totally the same. Could you imagine shuls where you can daven, you can't daven? Well, what are we talking about? All right, now I want to go further. And I want to...
Now, instead of separating us from the Goyim, now separating us from each other.
Well, the Baruch Hashem, let's hope for the best. All I can tell you is Habatnikim only eat in their own home. I don't know if you're aware of it. The real Chabadikim don't eat out of their house. And I was a bit afraid. I don't get offended. If you know I'm a kefet, I'm a zangizund, dreizach ayerekep, and don't bother me. But I can tell you a family came out of Russia in refusal for so many years, and I played a big role. I didn't. It's not that total my mitzvah. It's not like Esas, where I have a mitzvah, pidin shvuyim. Dov, this is the first Jew you've met, he and his wife, certified by the Mossad, a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, quote, end quote. But this Jew, I played a big role in the whole reception here at the airport, and he comes to my house, he doesn't eat. A Chabadnik, here's a guy who's been in refusal in Leningrad, right? He was a sheikhet, but Rebbeinu Shalaylem, Aaron Rakefet, living in Yerushalayim, you're worried about the kashrut in his house. But all right, that's the reality. That's a Chabadnik. You have to respect it. Now, with all that, Reb Menashe Klein has said, and we're going to go much further, and we're going to answer some other questions Jack asked. But you see, there is a basic problem here. We have to be honest. Are we only going to do yeshivish learning and not look beyond the yeshiva type of learning? Or do we go to graduate school? You go to Bernard Weber graduate school. You go to Hebrew U, the graduate school. Although today Hebrew U is not what it used to be. Tel Aviv U, Chaim, you know why all these places are not what they used to be? Because the yeshiva's hezda and what goes beyond the yeshiva hezda, a lot of research is being done there of the Altara Takodesh. There's a, you follow me? Yeshiva hezda, for instance, I think it's the Gush, gave out a new edition of the Mordechai, edited. You have a new edition of the Sfat Emet, edited. You follow? This is coming out of Yeshiva Chesed. They don't have to go to Hebrew U. So in a way, the what Hebrew U attracted, the Chochmat Yisrael, you have it in a higher form in many postgraduate divisions beyond the Chesed Yeshiva. People who continue learning do get involved in this type of thinking and writing. Now, if you take it further, and there was someone who I was a good friend with, we'd fight and yell and shout and punch each other figuratively and literally, Rabbi Mordechai Breuer. Does anyone recognize the name? Now be careful, they're both rabbi doctors, but one is Dr. Mordechai Breuer. He was the historian. I quoted him in great depth when I spoke about German Orthodoxy years ago. He taught, he was principal of Chorev. Later he was professor at Bar Ilan. His first cousin taught at Michlala, taught in the Gush. He was Rabbi Mordechai Breuer. And he went into Kitvei Yad, and the Chumash we have, he shows, here we have a variant reading, this variant reading, that variant reading, and variant readings have been around since time immemorial. I'll give you the Rambam in a second. The Rambam alludes to it, black and white, tells us, it's, you know, if you're going to get up, imagine you get up in a Chinuch Atzmoi school, let's say, and a good school, a Chveis, a fallout of some part of Lakewood. I don't want to be prejudiced, but after hearing Rav Malkiel Cutler this past week, I'm choking. So you'll say, well, there were variant reading. You're a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, demented, repetitious, malevolent, no good, happy, chorus, ice faff. You follow? No, that's not an approach. There were variant readings. We have the Kitvei Yad. So now the question comes up, and a lot has been written on this, and I spoke about this years ago when I gave sources. It's not important now, but my approach I hold to be absolutely correct. Look, Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharet. We're only human beings. Human beings are bound to make mistakes. So Torah has to function within a human context. And we can have all the lumdis in the world, kitvei yad, variant readings, but the Torah I read from is the one my parents gave us, the one our Rebbeim gave us. We can't go back in time and establish the absolute correct text. The correct text for us is Masorah, tradition. And that's the way it works. That's the halacha. Can't go back in time. Here, you have the classic example, which you can do your research on. Yigal Yadin, you've all heard the name, he was chief of staff, Skukenik originally, chief of staff. He got involved in research on tefillin. Did he himself put on tefillin? That's the famous story. After the Six-Day War, the Chabadnikim were going up and down the trains from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. There was a train yet, I still remember it. Now we don't, they claim we have a train, but I wouldn't advise anyone to take a ride in it yet. So the Chabadnikim are going up and down, and there's Professor Yadin. And they say, Professor Yadin, want to put on tefillin? No. They say to him, you have done all the research. He finally agreed to put on tefillin. You follow me? They had to convince him. Now, what do I mean the research? All right, the first ancient tefillin that he discovered and took apart was Lefi Shitat Rabbeinu Tam. And I can tell you, Bididei Havi Uvda, in Lower Merion Synagogue, 1961, I had a congregant, the very famous name, Professor Moshe, what was his last name? I'm plucking out. His father was the assistant rector of the seminary. Moshe, not Goldberg. All right, I have to check it out. He was a professor of Bible. Later came in Aliyah, was the youngest professor ever appointed at Hebrew U. He's no longer alive. I can just see his face in front of me. And he was orthoprax. Not orthodox, but orthoprax. Greenberg, Professor Moshe Greenberg. Okay? His father had been rabbi of Har Zion in Philadelphia, the largest conservative temple in the United States. And then they called the father, Simon Greenberg, called him to New York. So Moshe Greenberg says to me in front of the whole congregation, anyone who doesn't go out and buy Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is not Yotze Tefillin. They found ancient Tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Anyone who doesn't go out. Michael Miller has to go out and go to some Chabad scribe and get Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And I want to tell you, this is a serious question. Did the Rav put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, Yitzchak? What do you say?
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. You know what the Ramah paskins, what the Shulchan Aruch paskins? You have to be a Yirat Tzaddik to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. No Litvisha put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. The Hasidim, due to the Kabbalah, so today I see a 13-year-old schnook, a Chassidish Giyei kid. He doesn't even know how to open a Gemara right side up. And he's putting on, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, pulling off the Rashi, putting on the Rabbeinu Tam, I'm ready to shoot him. My Litvisha blood gets all excited. Then I say, calm down, Baruch Hashem, better to put on two pairs of tefillin than none, absolutely. No, then they found more ancient tefillin in the Dead Sea area. And they open it up, no tefillin of Rashi. And they did carbon test on them, how old, and they both dated approximately the same time. So all you can conclude from the research is that the Machlokes goes way back before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. But you see, lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharet, these are the tefillin my father gave me, these are the tefillin my Rebbe puts on. These are the tefillin I put on. These are the accurate tefillin for the year 2018. Follow? This is the proper Sefer Torah for the year 2018. They're variant readings. Zeluchud v'zeluchud. How do you know you have all the variant readings? How do you know you discovered every manuscript? Now, I can tell you, I'll fill you in a story that, again, I feel bad, but I may be the only one alive already who remembers. When I came into the yeshiva in 1951, there was a young Rebbe who had just been appointed, Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum. He and Reb Moshe David Tendler taught the first year classes in Ritz. I skipped the first year because I was a fairly good kid, so I got into Reb Michal Katz's class. That was the second level. But they taught the first level. So the name Reb Moshe David Tendler, you all heard of, should live and be well. He's Rabbi Dr. M.D. Tendler, who's still teaching at the yeshiva today, well into his 90s. I had a big honor. He came to hear me when I spoke in memory of the Rav on that Sunday right before Pesach. He was in the audience that was present. All right. Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum is a very interesting story. He was a Telzer. He was a survivor. He fought with the partisans. People who survived told me they were hiding in the woods. They were with the partisans. They would say, we have to follow Meir Simcha. He's smart. He'll know how to survive. If we follow him, we'll survive. That was his reputation already in World War II. At Gahat HaGoynish HaKap. He was named after Reb Meir Simcha the Asa Meach. And he came to the yeshiva. He was a Talmud Mufak of the Rav. All right, he started teaching in the yeshiva. And like many other people I know, including myself, it's very convenient. You're teaching the yeshiva. Bernard Revel Graduate School is across the street. Why not go for a doctorate? And he went for a doctorate. But Rakefet studied matters that never got involved with questions like this. The history of Torah, in response to literature. But he studied Talmudic textual development. We'll put it that way. And he became the Talmud Muvhak of Professor Abraham Weiss. Recognize the name? Make believe you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Professor Weiss, Warsaw, saved by his wife. He had married a student who was much younger. These people didn't get married. They were busy with research. He knew Kala Torah Kula Balper, Professor Weiss. Knew all of Shas. Bucking Shas Balper. And his wife, they got the point, all because of her. She wrote a memoir afterwards. I know she saved the family. They got to Portugal. From Portugal, they got to the United States. And he was already on the Judenrat in Warsaw. And he survived. So he comes to the Bronx, and he's professor at Bernard Revel Graduate School. And Meir Simcha becomes his top Talmud. The Rav cried, I still remember it, the Chabneda, as Professor Weiss had gegambit mein Meir Simcha from here. Translation, I'm afraid that Professor Weiss robbed my Meir Simcha from me. And then Reb Meir Simcha wrote a famous article that appeared, I believe, in Talpiyot, which was published by Yeshiva, on the whole sugya of Edei, what creates a get, Edei Mesira or Edei Krita, Edei Mesira Kate or Edei Mesira Kate, what creates it? The giving of the get, that alone creates it, that's what you need the Edom for. Or is it the Edom who sign on the get when you're creating the ability for the get to cut you off from your wife? All right, so machlekes in the Gemara, we paskin what we paskin, and Reb Meir Simcha wrote a whole article taking the minority opinion. So there was another Rebbe now in the yeshiva who was just appointed, Rav Yehuda Panis. Recognize the name? Teddy Panis, Rav Yehuda Panis, should live and be well. He already was more right-wing, and he started arguing with Reb Meir Simcha, how do you take a minority opinion and you write as if this is the right opinion? The Rishonim, so Reb Meir Simcha answered, first of all, I have one Rishon that agrees with me, so I have a right to agree with that Rishon. Well, but what do you do with the halacha? And this question, let me rephrase it. When research contradicts the halacha, who do you follow? And Reb Meir Simcha answered, I'll never forget it, Zelechud v'zelechud. My research, I can go any way I want. I may be right, I may be wrong. There may be documents that'll be found. Maybe Chaim Goldberg is going to find more documents that I never saw. But I have every right in research to go which way I think is correct. Halacha lemaisa, I have to follow the Mesorah. And that was a very, very interesting answer. The first time I heard it formulated was by Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum. Subsequently, I've spoken with other people in Bernard Revel Graduate School faculty, people involved in similar type of research on Torah Shebaal Peh, and I've gotten the same answer. And I say this is a good answer, it's a logical answer, the same thing with the Sefer Torah. And there's a beautiful article by Mordechai Breuer that appeared in Deot many years ago in the 70s, but exactly this point, the Sefer Torah we have in our hands is the one we read from. You can go back in time and find a variant reading. Doesn't matter. That's scholarship. Maybe you'll find more variant readings. But this is the Torah that they gave us. Now, the Rambam, this is a very famous Rambam, Hilchat Tfilin Mezuzah V'Sefer Torah. Actually, people will cite it, Hilchat Sefer Torah. But those of you familiar with the Rambam, in Sefer Ahava, he does all these three together. It's Perek Chet, and it's Halacha Dalet. And the Rambam if you go through the whole halal, the whole perek, he's talking about how to write a Sefer Torah, how you write when it's satum, when it's patuach, how much space you leave, etc. Ulefi shereiti shibish gadol b'chalas farim shereiti b'davarim elu v'chein baleicha mesoresh shekotmin u'mechavrim lahodiach astumat v'apatuchat nechlechu b'davarim elu k'mach loket hasfarim shesomkim aleichem. Because they have different sources and their contradictions. Ra'iti lichtov hine kol pashiyot ha-Torah ha-stumot ha-ptuchot v'tzurot ha-shurot kedei l'takein aleihem kol ha-sfram l'gilehem. I'm now going to tell you exactly the way the Torah should be written, and all Sifrei Torah follow what I am outlining for you, and they will be kosher. No, how does the Rambam have such authority? And the Rambam says, because what I'm basing my halakha upon, the sefer shesamachnu alav b'davarim elu, hu hasefer hayadua b'mitzrayim, shehu kolel arba'a v'eshrim sparim shahaya b'Yerushalayim mikamesh shanim lagiu mimenu hasfarim v'alav hayu hakol smachim lefi shehigia ben Asha v'digdek bo shanim v'higiu pa'amim rabot k'mo shehetiku v'alav samachti b'sefer Torah shekatavti kehilchato. And here, this is the famous Rambam that he follows in Egypt. There was 24 all books of the Bible, Meduyak ben Asher worked on it. He was the famous grammarian. He was the expert. And everyone explaining the Rambam, what did he do? Acharei Rabbim lahatot. Whenever you came up with variant readings, he checked the reliable manuscripts in front of him. And if two said one reading and one said another, he followed the two. And this is the Rambam Lahalacha. This is what he did. And this is what we have to do throughout the millennium. We can't be angels. We can't go back in time. We can't say we know everything. We can't say we dug everything up. And I'll even go, hold on, Yitzhak, 1 second. I'll even go one step further. How many of you have seen the Cairo Geniza? So let you in on a secret. Yitzchak can testify. I had a very good friend. Unfortunately, he's gone quite a few years already. He would be my age today, a year younger. He actually was very close to Steve Riskin as well. He was very close to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, our classmate. And I'm talking about, Alan Dershowitz mentions him in a number of his books. His name, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner. Groner, recognize the last name? That's his uncle, Label Groner, should live and be well, was the Rebbe's right hand. The Groners were cousins of the Rebbe. And
any offspring, a assistant of Bibi?
No, that's from the Chicago Groners. They're not related. That's a different family. I know that family too. But the Hasidic Groners, Tzvi's father was the eldest of the Groner children, and he was the head of the Sheikhtim in Newark. When I came to Newark, he was the head of the Sheikhtim. His father was a fabulous Jew. Later went in Aliyah and worked for the Mizrahi here, and he davened with the Kotel, but he wasn't...
But he wasn't as
total Lubavitch as his brothers. Then came another brother, David, to Australia. He was the one who built Australia. That's whom the Rebbe sent to Australia, to Melbourne. Itche David, Yitzchak David Groner. He was a Lamdan Mufak, a Posek, and he built Yiddishkeit in Australia. Then there's Label, who was the Rebbe's literally right hand. So you talk about Zvi Grona. Zvi Grona got involved in research. He came on Aliyah, graduated Yeshiva College. He graduated a year after me, 1960. He was a BTA graduate from Dairy Yeshiva College. Came on Aliyah from the graduation, got his master's and his doctorate here. He got involved in research, and they invited him to Cambridge to work in the Geniza from Cairo. The story of the Geniza from Cairo, I trust you all know, some women went to visit, elegant women from London went to visit Egypt, and they brought back manuscripts that they bought in a second-hand shop. They were selling, if you're Jewish, these are ancient manuscripts. They brought them back, and Professor Schechter of Cambridge recognized what they were. He went on an exploration mission to Cairo, to Fustat, there was a suburb, to Geniza.
Was that his Zaidi who was originally there, Schechter?
What do you mean, Zaidi, originally there?
Professor Schechter.
This is the original, there's only one Schechter. This is the one we're talking about. Schnur Zalman Schechter. We're talking about 120 years ago, approximately. And he went to Cairo, and he brought back whatever he could take, caskets filled with kitve yad, with garbage from the Geniza, on top of donkeys. I think there were 127. It's like legendary. Reached the boat. They got it to Cambridge, and he started research. Later, when he goes to America to become head of the Jewish Theological Seminary, he brings some of the material with him to JTS. Now, do you know? So they're still doing research. Now, do you know that the majority of what they uncovered in the Geniza has not yet been researched, not yet published? Do you have any idea what's involved? These are little sheets of paper. You have to put them together. The originals where you found the actual letters of the Rabbi Yosef Cairo, invaluable, of Shlomo Alkabetz, there's things there. All right, a few scribblings from the Rambam. But the majority, it'll never be straightened out. You follow, when you go back in time, what do you find? Just think of the Geniza in your shoe. What have you thrown into the Geniza over the years? People throw in that most of it is not valuable at all. And occasionally something will be thrown in that's invaluable. And these are kitvei yad, and it comes up, it pops up out of nowhere. And this goes on time and time again. So that alavai, we should have researched everything in the Cairo Geniza. Simply limits. Who can understand it? Who can read it? Who can research it? Who can put it together? Who can put the fragments together? When it's ripped up already, you have a terrible problem. The few documents that were found whole, wow. The kitvei yad of the Rambam, I don't believe one of them was whole. I have, when I turned 60, I was given a beautiful gift, the Huntington Rambam, put out in Israel, it's in London, and it was owned by Huntington, and that's how it founded. I think Cambridge has it, or I believe it's Cambridge. And it was on Sefer, the first two Sfarim of the Rambam. And even Frankel waited to put out Sefer Ahava until he would have the Kitvei Yad published from London. All right, in that volume and back, they show you other Kitvei Yad. This is not a Ktav Yad of the Rambam. It's a Ktav Yad of a Talmud of the Rambam, but the Rambam signs on it that he reviewed it, and it's accurate, and he signs, Moshe ben Maimon. That's what makes this Ktav Yad so valuable. All we have is on the first two books of the Rambam, Sefer Mada, Sefer Ahava, and in back they put on the Kitvei Yad that they got out of the Geniza. But you'll see it's fragments, just fragments. We really have nothing of the Mishneh Torah which we can say is the Ktav Yad organized and in total good condition from the Rambam himself. And this is very important. And this part of Reb Menashe Klein is you have to live with it. You have to accept it. He's very good. He's very forceful. He's very accurate. That lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharei, this is what we have. This is the Masora. What are you coming along with computers and parceling? And if you don't use a computer, and every Sefer Torah until now is no good, and every Sefer that's never computer is no good. How do you speak like that? This is the Masora. Now,
is there available the Kovetz of Egypt?
What do you mean, Kovetz of Egypt? There's no such thing.
The 24 volumes of the Tanakh.
If you would have those 24 volumes of the Tanakh, billions of dollars would be an understatement of what it would be worth. They claim what the smuggled out of, where was it, from Lebanon. So they claim that Aleppo, the Aleppo. They claim that manuscript goes back to the Ben Asha. But even that manuscript we don't have entirely. It was part of it was burned, part was smuggled, part was lost. Hashem Yirachem. What we have, Baruch Hashem, and they work on this around the clock. Now today, a lot of this material is on the computer. That they've made all the Kitva Yad as much as they can. They keep on working, making it available. So there's no end to scholarship. But this is Chachmat Yisrael. You see, you have to be inclined. Every Jew, let me quote Rakefet to you. People ask you, when do you start Chachmat Yisrael? First, you have to be a master of Shas and Paiskim. Then, if you're inclined, you can go further with Chachmat Yisrael. The classic example in our times is your classmate. You sat in the room with him, no? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, he's a Gaon Adir. But when you read his Chochmat Yisrael, you're just shaking how the man puts it all together. Of course, it's limited areas, but there's no area that equals his expertise on Stam Yenam. Follow? But that needs a big Talmud Chacham. Hebrew Union College, JTS today, there's nothing that can come out of there of any value because the students are on a different level. It's not what it used to be when Yeshiva College fed JTS, 50% of their students were Yeshiva College graduates. So they knew how to learn. Some of them went into Chachmat Yisrael, few and far between, but they could achieve. Today at Hebrew U, Chachmat Yisrael is a very big problem. The humanities in general, the youth today, if they're not in Yeshiva Hezda, if they're not in Yeshiva Gevohat, why should they study Chachmat Yisrael? They want to make a living. High tech is what counts today. Science is what counts today. But we're limited. We're humans. And Reb Menashe Klein is right on. Zvi Grona, he published on the Goinic period. I'll tell you. You've heard the name Professor Yosef Tabori. Yossi Tabori was from the Bronx, part of Achaburi. It's exactly my age. We're very close. He has a brother who is the Mashkiach in Alon Shvut. Is very ill, Lo Aleinu, Mugerik disease. There's a brother at Bar Ilan. There's a sister who lives in, if I'm not mistaken, Sanhedrin. Lives here. Judy Tabori. She's married. They all live here. Everyone is older, not everyone is in good health anymore.
Family?
No. It's a Hebraic, Tabori is a Hebraic name, her precise name. The father was...
What was the original name?
I don't know, I can't answer you. But I knew that Rabbi Tabori was the rabbi of Zichron Ephraim, then he was worked with the Jewish agency, came in Aliyah, was from the old school. So when Svi took ill, and he couldn't work anymore, and his mind was not the same, Yossi Tabori worked on his manuscript, pure chesed. No one paid him for this. And they put out, Mosad Rav Kook, Brachot Shenishtaku. It was based upon his master's thesis, not his doctorate. It's brachot that we once recited and no longer recited. So that's the pristine scholarship that remains. There are other articles he wrote, but as far as I know, nothing has been collected. If you look in, two volumes in honor of the Rebbe when the Rebbe turned 75, when the Rebbe turned 80. The lead article in some of these volumes is by Tzvi Grona, his cousin. The lead article. But that's three. Now, the Tshuvat HaRashba, he quotes, Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Vav, but you'll see the Tshuva right here in the Mishnah Halacha. He quotes it now, he quotes it later in another Tshuva to the Safmuruv. Tshuvat HaRashba, very fascinating question. Moshe Maverick, you went and hired a sofa to write a Sefer Torah in honor of your grandfather's 85th birthday. Family got together, chipped in. You got a nice cipher, and Sefer Torah is completed. And they start reading, and they find mistakes. And you're very upset. And you're upset with the sofa. You paid him the equivalent of $30,000, and you found 7, 8 different mistakes. Does he have to give you back money? Does he have to make this up to you? You have to have it fixed. You have added expenses. What Gemara are you referring to? So I hear what you're saying already. Saying that if someone is an expert, he has to live up to his standards. That's why you're hiring. That's why you're paying him. So the Rashba gives a very interesting tshuva, and I'll summarize it. Very important tshuva. Total agreement with Rav Menashe Klein's thinking. My dear students, we all make mistakes. Question is, what kind of mistakes? If you write a Sefer Torah and you're going to find 6 or 7 mistakes, particularly among your Teirot and Chesronot, the words that are the Vav and the Yud that you do need, you don't need. So he made mistakes. This is only natural. There is no one who can write a Sefer Torah and not make mistakes. And you have to take this in consideration. When you get a Sefer Torah, there are bound to be mistakes. It's normal. It's part of life. It's a human being. He is not obligated to pay you. This is part of life. You have to correct it, obviously. But the Torah he gave you is Becheskat Kashrut. Aye. But then, what if you find 20, 30 mistakes? It shows, well, these are bad mistakes. It shows he didn't concentrate. Michael, it's like what goes on here in Israel where they try to undermine one another. I've heard it said, you buy a talit. All right, my grandchildren got me a beautiful talit for my birthday a year ago. Fine. Beautiful talit. I wish I had time to go and get another one for during the week. It doesn't fall off. It's a different type of material, a pleasure. And the tzitzit are put on. They look like they're put on. Kedat v'kedin. And you'll find people saying, you're somach on the rabbinate. You know who puts on the tzitzit? There was just big articles within the year or the last 2 years. In jail. They go to people in jail. And it's not. I'm telling you, as I saw in the newspaper, they go to people in jail. They have to work. They want to make a little money. If you're a Shomer Shabbos, you have to get a letter from the rabbi in the jail that you're a Shomer Shabbos. You can put the tzitzit on, and you're paid for that malacha. No, Benjamin, a fine messa. How do you feel about tzitzit put on by a murderer sitting in jail who's a Shomer Shabbos? All right, he murdered Mela. He didn't murder on Shabbos. He murdered during the week.
The
former chief rabbi sitting in jail. He hasn't gotten out yet. He's married to my student. Don't think I don't know him. His aunt and uncle live on my floor for 50 years. We were living apartment to apartment. Every Friday night when he would come over, they would come in to me, say hello. I go dreamy, become the chief rabbi. All right? He's sitting in jail. Worse than that, when they try to poke fun at the rabbinate, so they say, who puts the tzitzit on? It's young Sfadik kids who have the radio blaring, they're hearing all types of jazz and modern music, and they're making a living putting tzitzit on. Then they go further. Women, it's women sitting and they're listening to music, they're putting on tzitzit. Can women put on tzitzit? It's an interesting question. All right, we'll leave that. Excuse me? It's a machlekes apoiskim. The Mishnah Berurah would seem to indicate, but the evit it certainly would be kosher, it would seem, because it's not a halacha. It's a din. The garment has to have tzitzit. Not a question so much of begavri. You're putting on tzitzit on a garment that really you have no fulfillment yet. But when someone puts the garment on his chayv and sits it, the garment has that sits it. So maybe women are kosher. Anyway, we once discussed that. Morty Tarigan raised the question with me. We did our research on it. According to the Chashulchan, it certainly be the Evid would be okay. But you see, are the tzitzit good? Not good. So you have a cipher. If he has mistake after mistake after mistake, I'm quoting the Rashba, but I'm just putting it to modern context. Could you imagine? He's putting on the tzitzit, and he's writing the Sefer Torah, and he's listening. He has the World Series on his television. You understand? Yeah. Haven't you done something like that? When I was a kid, I'd be learning Gemara, have the World Series on. Yeah. How can you miss the World Series? Now this morning, I don't like to do two things at once. But I was going through what I'm going to teach today and teach tomorrow, and I had the Rav on my computer talking about Yutet Kislev. Oh boy, I was chetzi evit v'chetzi ben chorin. Believe me, I was up in heaven listening to the Rav and his sense of humor. Oh, wow. Yes, and everyone's laughing when he says I'm a clandestine chassid. Says I was raised. He says my Rebbe in my youth. He starts about Baruch Riesberg. He was an anagel of the Baal Tanya, and he tried to convince us we have to be chassidim. And he goes on and on and on. Beautiful, beautiful. Yutet Kislev. Halavai should be publicized.
He was an
Einikol Reb Shnei Zalman of the Baal Tanya, exactly. So this is the Rashba, and he says, this is a Rishon. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Rashba, and here is the Rashba, and Lahalacha Lamaisa. No Sofer is perfect. No Sefer Torah is perfect. But until you find the mistake, it's Becheskas Kashrut. And you yotzei the Kriya. When you find the mistake, you have to correct it. If it's normal mistakes, Yeteirot, Chaseirot, etc., any human being can make those mistakes. If you see it's pernicious that he was listening his face, he's writing the Sefer Torah, and he's listening to a Shir by Rakefet. No, what do you want out of that? That's not right. Of course there are going to be mistakes. Then he has to pay up. All right. Then there's something very beautiful here in the Tshuva. Page Ayin Dalid, right at the top of the page. And here he's telling a little story. And what he's alluding to is something I have spoken about many times over the last 60 years. My dear students, there are two different types of questions you get. There's a question, Jack has a question. He bought a product that he didn't realize had the Chalav Akum in it, and he's got people coming who are Makpir and Chalav Yisrael. Should he tell them, not tell them? All right, whatever the question is, tell them, believe me. Could be Chalav Akum, it's... You have to explain to them it's milk powder. If it's milk powder, even people who are makpin and Chalav Yisrael, Many are mati with nut powder because it didn't exist until modern times, therefore the gezeira is not chal on it. And I told you, that was the chief rabbinate here. Evidently they reversed their decision. But they not said Haagen-Dazs from France. What do you mean? It has an OU. Yeah, but all the other ice cream that has an OU, that's full of vacuum, it's milk powder. But Haagen-Dazs uses fresh milk. The chief rabbinate would not accept it, even if it says Chalavakum, this is fresh milk. They wouldn't let him import it. No. Jack tells me now it's being imported, evidently. The new chief rabbinate altered. Maybe they heard Rakefet cry out. People, we're not forcing you to use it, but people who are making on Chalavakum, this famous story with the Rebbe in the 70s, when he was subject to the help of his Gabayim. So many of his Gabayim were my Talmidim already. Talmidim either from BMT or from the Kollel. So I still, the beautiful story, late 70s, early 80s, the Rav had ulcers, so he had to drink a lot of milk. So he says to the Gabayim, he gives us, here's a dollar, please go out and buy me a quart of milk, a pint of milk, whatever. And they're whispering behind the Rav's back, what does he mean? Does he mean Chalav Yisrael, regular milk? And the Rav hears these guys and he says, I want Delwood milk, like we drink all the time. And Delwood milk, of course, was O-U-D, but it was Chalav Akum. So the O-U reversed. So that's a Shaila. It's not earth-shaking. It affects Jack. It doesn't affect another 10 million Jews. But then you get a Shaila that shook up the world. No, tell me, what shook up the world the first half of the 20th century? Civil marriage. Everyone in Russia, there was no religious marriage left. So a Jew marries civilly another Jew, gets divorced civilly, gets out of Russia, and now the lady wants to marry a Jewish man. But you were married before. Civil marriage. Does a civil marriage need a get or doesn't it need a get? The East Side shook with the Shaila because the two greatest Gedolim in America as Poskim who lived a few blocks from each other, a block and a half from each other, two totally different point of views. Reb Moshe Feinstein, b'di'evad, you don't need to get civil marriage. Does not a halachic marriage make? Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin absolutely makes a total marriage you need to get. He wrote Svarim proving it. I don't want to go into it now. Hilchotishus, the Rambam, looking to Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Rabbi Henkin said, Nitna Torah, and instituted a new concept of marriage, but it doesn't change the original concept. That marriage is still valid. The earth shook. The earth shook in Europe. No, a shaila of civil marriage affects every last Jew in the world. Every last Jew. Moshe is going out with the right, you're not married yet. You're going out, let me tell it as I wish. When I want the facts, I'll give them to you. Don't correct me with the facts. Let it stand. You're going out with this girl. Her parents came out of Russia. She's a tzaddikit. She learned in the finest ulpana. She did Sherit Lumi 2 years. Chesed, tzidkut, everything you're looking for. Good looks, most important, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Looking to tshuva and evanescence. And you're going out with her and you find out. Her mother was married 3 times in Russia. She's from the third marriage when her parents became good Jews, learned what Yiddishkeit is about in Israel. Shvut Ami reached out to them. No?
Well, once I'm relying on Moshe for looks, I should also rely on him for the fact that...
Your grandson is going to be a good Malamed because he has a sense of humor. The world is shaking over this question and you're playing games with Reb Moshe Kaliachiyad and Reb Moshe with Dinei Nefashat. No? What do you do? Do you know? Let me go back. Believe me, you'll rely on Reb Moshe. But you should know. Aaron Rakefet spoke with the Rav about this when Rakefet knew a little bit how to learn. There's a difference when I spoke with the Rav in the 50s when I knew nothing. You follow? Oh, when I spoke with the Reverend in the late 70s, this was an experience, because I could fight with him. I pushed him against the wall. He agreed with Reb Moshe. Not with Reb Moshe, with Reb Yosef Eliyahu. But I said, Rebbe, these are the children, it's only a love. For the lady, it's a shayla of adultery. But the kids, it's all, no, if she's right, if it's only a love. Relax yourself. Come back here. The Kovna Rav, Rav Avram Dover Kahana Shapiro, in the early 30s, when this question was coming all over Europe, all over Russia, all over Ukraine, the question already had been discussed in the 1800s in Austro-Hungary, in Hungary, in Germany. The Kovna Rav said, this is a shaila we cannot decide on our own. It affects every Jew. We have to call a convention of all the rabbis, a convocation, and put it up to a vote. After all, the Gedolei Yisrael will discuss it, pro and con. Tell me, the Shiloh with the Sefer Torah? Do you need a computer? Don't you need a computer? Who does this affect? Just Jack? Just Moshe? Just Ani Rothkopf? This affects every Jew in the world. What are you going to do with Sefer Torah? But Menashe Klein says, this is not something you have a right to paskin on your own. You have no right to declare all the other Sifrei Torah puzzle.
There's a Sifrei Torah that you use in the shul. Does it state on the bottom that it was computer checked?
Probably today it does state, because of thievery. One of the reasons that we have it computer checked is to be able to identify if someone robs it. So it could be there is a code on the back side of the Torah.
Then you can't
puzzle anything. We'll see. Give me time with Reb Menashe Klein. I have a world to show you yet. But this is, you say about Reb Menashe, he's not Reb Moshe, right? Not as that widely accepted. But it's a basis for opening your eyes. Look what he says here. And he tells us...
Did you ever meet him personally?
I met him on the computer.
I met him on the computer. I used to be in business in
Baruch. You are...
Oh,
amazing.
You got to expose the Yankees, I see.
You're
pushing the Yankees.
Last week on Monday, when you weren't here, a couple came into my shir.
Yeah.
I didn't introduce them. Just Talmidim, them. A world famous cardiologist. His wife may have. How many doctorates? Did she tell you how many doctorates she has? That lady, you met her last week, Dale. She's taught postgraduate here, there. She can repeat 1,000 of my lectures word by word. And I'm not putting you on. I met her the first time years ago. I thanked it. She gives me a whole lot. I said, that's...
She must be a genius.
An understatement. So when I was last in Florida, he gave me this a gift. So when he came in last week, and I should have it here, you know, we took a picture after class, waiting for Sherry to send it out.
He must be a Yankee fan.
Well, he grew up, he's a New York boy, so he has to be a Yankee fan. From the Bronx, his roots are from the Bronx. Now, here's the story that Reb Menashe Klein tells. He says, a student of mine showed me that there was a great Rav from Brooklyn, Rav Moshe Rosen. Anyone recognize the name? Rav from Brooklyn, a Gaon Adir, wrote many Svarim, had a son, Rav Chaim Rosen, was also a big Lamdan. American Rabbanim, the son was more Americanized, but the father was still, you know, the crowd in Brooklyn 100 years ago was a Europäische crowd, and he was a Europäische Litvische Rav Alamden Mufak. And Rav Moshe Rosen had a question, and unfortunately we don't know what the question was. It doesn't say what the question was, but he wrote a shaila to the Ragged Shava Gaon. The Ragged Shava Gaon, Rav Yosef Rosen, I remember the most valuable possession that my Rebbe, Rav Yosef Weiss, Seichel Tzadik Levracha, had was a postcard that he once brought to class that he got a tshuva from the Ragged Shava on a postcard from the Vince, from Riga. And Rav Moshe Rosen wrote to the Ragged Shava, and the Rav Moshe Rosen's grandson, Reb Hillel Litvak, showed Reb Menashe Klein the postcard that he inherited from his grandfather that his grandfather got from the Ragged Shava. And the Ragged Shava writes to him, "I cannot answer your question because this is a question that affects Klal Yisrael. And an individual rabbi has no right to answer. In order to answer your question, we have to call a meeting of all the rabbanim, and they have to decide according to majority vote. Ki sha'al mimeni sheila shenogeya l'rabim ve'ein darki lahashiv b'inyan hanogot l'chol hamakomot. Ani rak meshiv al inyan prati." And Reb Moshe, Reb Menashe Klein writes, "Mavhil, it's unbelievable that a Gon Kamota, the greatest Gon of his generation, refused to answer because it's not a question from one city, but a question that affects everyone." And he says, if this is the case, Allah hatkama v'kama, when you talk about a Sefer Torah that in every shul in the world, what did you read Shabbos? Every Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah coming. What else if not a Sefer Torah? How can people come along and parcel out Sifrei Torah where all the great Rabbanim in the world were not consulted? In theory, this is beautiful. Unfortunately, halacha lemaisa, could you ever visualize all the rabbanim coming together? It'll never happen. Until Mashiach comes, it's very sad.
How about
top of the line, if you know what's going on, what went on at the elections just now, you're talking about the top of the line. Who's more top of the line than the Gera Rebbe and Rav Konyevsky? Who are we talking about?
I know there's the Shtibla. I don't want to mention names, but they were one on the other using the worst possible language.
And in America, what went on this past week, the Amshinova and Reb Malkiel Cutler, and in public, and the Paskvilers, and you have the websites now. God have mercy. Unfortunately, could you imagine the chief rabbinate? No, you're going to invite the chief rabbinate. The Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah, the Moetzet of Chachmei Shas, the Moetzet of the Litvish of Degel HaTorah, and they'll sit with each other. They don't sit with each other. It's beyond words. Okay. Let me go. No, God have mercy. It's very hard. And we want to teach Torah. We want to inspire the youth. Very sad. Very, very sad. All right, Rakefetaya. If you want to follow my Hashkafa, anyone who's a Shema Torah mitzvah is a beautiful Jew. Their Hashkafa, anyone's entitled to their opinion. Everyone is different psychologically, socially, economically, mentally, physically.
Yeah, You feel that way. Do most of them feel that way?
No. This is a kol korei bamidbar. What does Rakefet say? Everyone paints their own picture, but the framework has to be the Vahashem Zu Halacha. And this was exactly the approach of my Rebbe, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. If you talk about the Rav, and when my book comes out, the new volume, I will prove it to you and give out a document that is worth a fortune. Your eyes will not believe what you will see. And that document, which just surfaced, makes me feel very proud. Baruch Shekivanti L'dat Mori Rebbe. Let me go one step further, and we'll end off. Jack, Reb Menashe Klein does not give up. Reb Menashe Klein is furious. The Torah has to live within a normal context. We can't pass out Sifrei Torah. We can't laugh at our parents. They're obeying before us. And this has come up 100 times over in modern times. It came up on a very stupid level a number of years in Israel. Not ancient history, it's within the last 10 years. They invented something for the, pardon me, for the bathroom that washes you. And they had the chutzpah to put ads in all the religious papers that there's now a new way to go to the bathroom. If you don't install this type of spritz, heat, whatever, you're not really cleaning your body properly. You should know I was hysterical. I said, these are people who want to make money. Remember what I told you last week? Eggs for Pesach, washed by water, not washed by vinegar. I can tell you, Baruch Hashem, on this level, evidently some of the top Rabbanim got upset and they ushered advertisements of this nature to imply that we never knew how to go to the bathroom since Matan Torah, to imply that we're on a higher level than all the generations before us. B'nai Shalom, you can advertise a nice shower. We've made improvements, technology, fine, good, but to tie halacha into it? Okay. Now what do you, that's on a minor level. The example I'm giving you, I remember davening one Saturday night with a posek from Matzah Stuff. Chaim Berlin graduate, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he was furious over the ads. I said, oh, now I'm very happy that I'm Shoma V'Zacha, two of us agree. A YU guy and a Chaim Berlin guy. Oh, he was furious. Maybe he played a role in getting the ads removed. Getting that concept in the ads. The Chatam Sofer, he quotes here, the Chatam Sofer, and you have to understand the Chatam Sofer, it's Chemik Yoredeya Siman Reish Yud Dalid. The Chatam Sofer to Reb Moshe Klein, this is like a Vilna Gaon to a Litvisha. It's like Reb Chaim Briska to a devotee of the Soloveitchik family. Quotes the Chatam Sofer, and here again, the same problem comes up. Building a mikveh. Some community wanted to redo their mikveh and add chumrat to the mikveh that the other mikveh didn't have. By the way, this comes up, halacha l'maisa, do we build a mikveh, I don't even want all the details, but do we build a mikveh with 2 barot or 1 bar? How are you makshir the mikveh? Some people build with 2 barot, one that they makshir through bringing in mayim, which is not she'uvim, and then they add water to it. Others build the mikveh and they keep mayim shuvim all the time and they don't add other water to it. They keep on adding shuvim. Have 2 different systems all together. Chumra'at on top of chumra'at. And the Chatam Sofer gets very upset with this proposal. And he writes to him, it's very nice what you want to do, but going around saying that this chumrah makes your mikvah better than others, you're implying that shetovlim b'mikvot ke'elu, that the other mikvot that we've built until now are not on the same level, and you're implying that it's a b'dieved when you use them, and our mikvah will be on a higher level, and the Chatam Sofer is absolutely, totally opposed. I'm quoting his words, v'hamachmir yachmir la'atzmo. And that's the Yiddish expression, achumra is fazichalein, machmir, mir, you. It's a play on the Yiddish word. You want to be machmir? Fine. But don't imply that you are more kosher than any other mikvah. That's the Chatam Sofer. Hamachmir yachmir la'atzmo. And one other source, following that line of thinking, he quotes the Ramah, Tshuva Nun Gimel Nun Dalet, in the Tshuva Ramah. And this is a problem that every major kashrut organization faces. And what they're dealing with is olive oil that they're importing to Poland from Italy. No, what do you do today? Tremendous tanks filled with vegetable oil. Kosher? Not kosher. What were the tanks used before? Are you certain it never held tanks of wine? You're using vegetable oil. Are you certain it never held lard? And people started to spread rumors about the Shemen Zayat that it's not kasher because these tanks, the chaviyot that they're importing them in, at one point may have had lard in them. And the Ramah refuses to asa. The Ramah says, you cannot asa something that was accepted as kasher until now, bringing kamarayot, the kol she'enu barua, ha'isur, ein la'asro. If you're not absolutely certain and you're not positive and you don't know for sure there's a prohibition, you can't come along and change that was accepted from time immemorial. And that's the same Ramah, the same concept, that we can't be holier, we can't claim we're better than the generations that came before us. This is the way they live, this is what they did, and we have an obligation to continue Mesorah tradition. And I will end off with one little story on Mesorah that happened right here in this very classroom. Over the decades, I had two students whose parents were Balei Tshuva. I've had many students whose parents were Balei Tshuva. I've had students who alone were Balei Tshuva. But these two students, I asked on occasion, how did your parents become from? I heard their background. Typical Americans, what brought them to Yiddishkeit? Was not Chabad. Generally you hear Chabad brings adults to Yiddishkeit, not Chabad. And from these two individuals, at two separate times, I got exactly the same story. Their parents went to see Fiddler on the Roof. And the song tradition hit their hearts. Who are we? What are we? And this is what it's about, tradition. And this is the guiding point here. We can't come along and throw out everything that was before us. We have more to do. You'll see I'm leading up to a tremendous crescendo that you'll make a shechiyonu when you hear it. But the Reb Menashe Klein has opened the Pandora's box here. You want to make changes, you want to innovate. There are always going to be mistakes. The Rambam paskins la locha. that he saw many Sifrei Torah with mistakes, and how do you handle it? And that's the Rambam. And these are shailas to go and say everyone else is wrong and only we are right. And this continues, the Rashba, the Sofa, does he owe you money, doesn't he owe you money? The whole question of Paskening, that beautiful story with the postcard, it's a beautiful little story, and I can just see the postcard Rav Weiss is showing us from Rav Yosef Rosen. And then you go beyond the story, the Chatam Sofa with the mikvah, the Ramah with the Italian Shemin Zayat, where again, that's a problem the OUs have to deal with. It's a problem that all the great kashrut firms nowadays have to deal with. Hold on 1 second. Well, that's the same problem with whiskey. They let it soak in the barrels, and with these barrels used with wine. What type of wine? It's the same. It depends. If there's beetle, they're matir, depending upon how much wine there was. How does it compare with everything else they soaked in it? Yeah, no, but I understand that if it's more than a year, when was it used less? There are many, many, many different questions that fall into this. But I'll tell you what's amazing. We live in a world today. My son-in-law, after the baby was named yesterday, we went back to my children. We had lunch there. We made kiddush there. And my son-in-law put out a bottle of Dambui whiskey with sweet this and that in it. And here's a bottle. You look at it. It looks as distant from Yerushalayim as the moon is from the sun. And the bottle has the Heksher, the London Basin on it. So we live in a world, Baruch Hashem, you can get top quality schnapps, you can get drunk 100 times over, and you can know it's kosher mahadrin. My dear students, we don't have... Moshe, one second. We pick up 2 weeks from now. Next week, Yomo, are you listening? Yomo, I heard the Ukrainian army drafted you. Have you been called up? No, they're drafting all the reserves. You're not in the reserves. You better bench Goimel, a single guy, healthy, strong, and he has not been called up to fight Putin. You're lucky. I was on the news today. I heard the news this morning. They drafted the reserves.
So only in the regions that are bordering Russia.
Where did you live? In Kiev?
Kiev is not involved.
Kiev is not involved. Baruch Hashem. Right now it's not involved.
I expected a war with
Putin. Well, you don't know what's going on?
Well, I hope Putin gives him a good licking. Ukrainians were bad news.
Okay, yeah, but please.
What? Who's bad news? The Ukrainians.
Herbie, let me finish out. Yeah. 2 weeks, we don't meet next week. It's Hanukkah, Sunday, Monday. We pick up 2 weeks from now, just where we left off. Tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, a terrific shiur dealing with the reconstruction after World War II, Reb Lazer Silva, how did he protect the $100,000 that he went to Europe with? Here's an interesting article, anyone interested? Pashat Ki Tisa. It's halacha l'maisa, what you do, Michael, I have an article for you, what you do when your plane lands on Shabbos. Michael, this is a terrible article from the New York Times. Gambling is now becoming part of baseball. And you could...
Part of every sport.
No, they didn't allow it since the White Sox scandal. Read the article. Moshe, this is yours. Yitzchak, this is yours. Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. You wouldn't... You wouldn't believe this article that we're at the level Rabbi Moshe Steinberg had to write a tshuva to Rav Malki El Kotla about the halachic requirements.
Sternbach.
Right. What did I say?
Steinberg.
Sternbuch. Right. Sternbuch. He wrote a tshuva to Rav Malki El Kotla about vaccinations. And I don't know if you know, there's epidemics now in Muncie, in Lakewood, and in Israel, wherever there are Haredim, it is terrible. They did not vaccinate.
Well, everybody got measles and stayed home from school and went back to school.
No, that's not the attitude. Now, it's sinful if you don't inoculate.
I got measles.
And Rav Shmoshe Shtumbach Paskin
Shmoshe.
There's
a lot of people that didn't just go to school.
Years ago, when I taught in the 1980s, 70s, whatever, about the Amish people, who were getting polio.
Right.
And finally, all the elders came out that they should take the shots. What? There were pictures in the Times. I used to cut it out and teach it.
Beautiful. Now, one second. New York Times has a very interesting article. Why the announcement of a looming white minority makes the demographers nervous. In the United States of America, within, they give the year 2044... the white people in America will be beneath half the population. That is the future. Very sad article. Justice Department refuses Israel's request to allow Pollack to immigrate there. It's unbelievable what they're doing to that guy, unless there's something we don't know. Very interesting article from the New York Times. Betsy DeVos's new harassment rules protect schools, not students. What's going on here is the Education Department has now published rules for schools. You see, the universities are under terrible pressure. If you can prove a teacher molested you, they have to pay up X millions of dollars. So now they came up with new rules, and according to the New York Times, which is out, of course, to get the government, the rules favor the schools, not the students. Very sad story. Interesting article. And till we meet again, and first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. Baruch Hashem. Enjoy the latkes. Chagurim Sameach. Until we meet again, in health and happiness. Das v'danya.
Chagurim
Sameach.